stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your.
Your Bibles, and you don't mind, I'm sure you don't. Let's consider the word of the Lord. Feels so good in here today, and I feel like it's just right in line with something that I want to share with you today with the help of the Lord. And I'm going to do my best here today just to share something I think is pretty awesome. And we're going back to 2 Kings 2. With Elijah and Elisha, and I'm going to read, starting at verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses here down to where they are parted. Glory to God. If you have it, say amen. 2 Kings. I'll wait one more minute. I only heard one amen. Hallelujah. You know what? I love you. We're in such a digital age, and some of us are on and off our devices, but I see paper Bibles. I love it. I guess that's a little rebel in me just to rebel against anything that's, no, you know what I mean. We use both, praise God. It's just kind of great to still see it. It's kind of like, you know, you still go to shopping malls? You do that? You can do everything online, you know? It's nice to see people actually get out and do real things. Amen. You still write checks? Wow. That is strange. No. 2 Kings 2, everybody has it now, can say amen.
Amen.
Whether paper or digital, amen. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Previous history is that Elijah was sent by the Lord after the cave moment to choose Elisha to be the prophet in his stead when this moment would come. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. 21st century way of saying shut up. No, maybe it wasn't that harsh. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I like to say it how Sister Tanya would say it. Yeah, I know it. Amen. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Hallelujah. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Hallelujah. Lord, bless your word today. Help us to receive from the word of God and to be encouraged to be who we are. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight, this afternoon, whatever your time zone is, going to heaven in a whirlwind. Going to heaven in a whirlwind. I'll finish reading this section of Scripture, verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, because that's all he asked from him. Because Elijah was taken from the Lord and changed everything about him, what he had on, except for the mantle. Because the mantle was that representation of, for Elijah, the thing that he used, it was his cloak, it was his signature as a prophet, and it was what he used to smite the waters, and so that is what fell from him. The mantle passed on from Elijah to Elisha because he asked for it. He asked for not the piece of clothing, he asked for a double portion of that spirit that was upon Elijah. I don't know what was going through Elisha's mind for him to ask for such a thing, other than his desire that the work of God continue on. But that's what he asked. And the mantle fell. And he took the mantle of Elijah. I don't know what it looked like. There's all sorts of looks for mantles. I've seen things even like the shawl Sister Erica's wearing that could be called a mantle, sometimes with a hood on it. Whatever his heavy cloak was, whether it reached all the way down to the ground or however big it was for Elijah, this fell from Elijah, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want you to pay again. I'm going to direct your attention. Pay close attention to what he's saying and pay close attention to what happens. He smote the waters with that mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elisha went over. Hallelujah. Amen. God doesn't stop working when people die. Praise the Lord. God doesn't stop working when people go to heaven in a whirlwind. Glory to God. All of us are going to end up one way or another going to heaven in a whirlwind. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe not the way of Elijah. But the scripture says in Job 14 and 1, I've quoted it several times over the years, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hallelujah. And then Paul say, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not in despair. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're not forsaken, praise God. We can be afflicted, but the Lord delivers us from our afflictions. We weren't promised in this way of holiness. We weren't promised a bed of roses. We weren't told that just because we're converted that all the troubles of life were going to be over. Even Jesus testified, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That's the part we lack sometimes. We forget he said that. We just like, in the world there's tribulation. It's tribulation. It's trouble. It's a whirlwind. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And if we can learn to do what we see here in this scripture, regardless of the trouble, regardless of the affliction, we're going to be all right. If we can continue on, if we can continue to cleave to the Word of God, cleave to the church of God, and not allow the church to go where it's going and leave us behind. No, I'm going to tarry with you. I'm not staying here. I'm sticking with you. Would to God there be others that were once among us that had the same spirit, the same attitude, that when life got awry on them, when things went south, when their own nature rose up to smite them, that they would say, I'm not leaving the man of God. I'm not leaving the church of God. I'm not leaving the walk of God. I'm going to keep on pressing on and pressing on and pressing on. Come trouble, come high, right? Hell or high water, I'm going to live for God. Would to God they had that. Today, they'd be here with a mantle on. Hallelujah. They'd be here with the power of God in their life. They'd be here with a testimony, a sermon, and a song. But you're right. We're not here to talk about that. That is what that is. Hallelujah. When we read this verse of Scripture, verse 1, and we read about what that whirlwind was, I want you to kind of get a picture of what, because it's easy to, in order to read this, and then if somebody asks you to draw an illustration of what happened when Elijah and Elisha were parted, we might draw a chariot and horses of fire, because that's the description here. There are people who do the same thing with the day of Pentecost, and they draw illustrations with little flames upon the apostles' head, but that's not what happened, and we know that's not what happened. What happened was what happened in our service today. When we were worshiping, and I was hearing you speaking with tongues and glorifying the Lord, it's the same exact thing that took place. It's like fire that sat upon each of them. The fire is the Spirit of God. It's not a little flame above your head. Thank you, Jesus. But some can't see really what was happening. And so I want to talk about that for a minute, simply because there's such a beautiful thought here in the word of the Lord, that it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. So that knowledge came from somewhere, and he spoke it. And so that all the prophets and the sons of the prophets knew of this, that it was coming. For whatever reason, the Lord chose to take Elijah and to take him up and out. God's business. But that he would take him up into heaven by a whirlwind. Didn't just say he would take him up to heaven. He said he'd take him up by a whirlwind. And don't we read in Job where the Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind? And it's easy to think that it was just a storm of wind and the spiral that came for Job, that is. Something physical did happen here with Elijah, but not saying it couldn't for Job, but we really realize that when you take in context what was happening with Job, that he was under persecution and stress beyond belief, and then his three knucklehead friends and the stupid young kid that was with him, that out of that whirlwind, God spoke to Job and said, you answer to me and to me only. You answer to nobody else. It's a pretty powerful lesson. We're going to heaven in a whirlwind, people. Praise the Lord. We're going up through trouble and through trial. And if we can learn how to endure, and if we can learn how to lay hold on eternal life and go up, even if there is a whirlwind, so be it. We're not going to let the trouble stop us. Job didn't give up on God when his wife said, curse God and die. He didn't give up on God when his three friends were being losers and inconsistent. They were being carnal, rather, better word. And they weren't being sensitive to God, but instead they were trying to use their walks with God and their knowledge of God as sons of God to try to prove Job wrong. And then out of the midst of all of that, Job was still enduring, still hanging on to God, still saying, I know the Lord's going to make sense out of all this. And then out of the whirlwind, here came the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you that when the disciples were on that sea, they had the Lord with them. When they were there and he wasn't there yet, the Lord came to him, them on the boat. He was there. What I'm telling you today is he's there. Don't let the whirlwind kill you. Don't let the trouble kill you. Don't let the tribulation destroy you. The Lord's in the midst of you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And whether we like it or not, we're going to go up in a whirlwind. Praise the Lord. We're going to go up by a whirlwind. When things happen that are out of our control, don't let it destroy you. God gets glory, and when we read about things such as the martyrs in the Word of God and those that were slain, all the prophets under the Old Covenant who were destroyed by carnal people, God got glory out of their lives. And even though they perished because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, they were considered the martyrs of the Lord. They were considered precious, as it is written, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Your little whirlwind doesn't stop you from being precious. And it shouldn't stop you from being a saint either. Amen? Just be willing to go up. And don't miss it when it happens. Praise the Lord. That makes sense to you? I'm not trying to butcher an event that took place. I'm just trying to extract from it something that is there to be seen. Praise God. It's there to be seen. Especially when so many people get discouraged when things happen to people of God. People that they love. People that they know. And then they just go the wrong direction. It's kind of like seeing it all happening and saying, oh, what's the use? And that's the wrong reaction. It's the wrong response to things that are sometimes out of our control anyhow. But dear God, if they go up in a whirlwind, give God the praise. They went up instead of down. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Oh, I got to hurry here. So when it came to pass that the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Now we read here, I'm going through very quickly because I read it already, so I'm not going to go verse by verse again. But it's like Elijah's trying to get rid of Elisha. Nice guy. I mean, you're the one that walked by him in the first place and brushed him with your mantle. And then when Elisha would run after him, he's like, well, what are you coming after me for? As if he didn't know. But again, there's that something in the Lord. It's that nature of God. Because remember, as people of God, we give off the nature of God. And we pass off, like Elijah was, the characteristic of God, how God deals with people. We see it. It's kind of like the scripture when it says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Well, you and I are made. We are creation. And we are able to demonstrate the invisible things of him by what we do. And so Elijah was demonstrating just how the Lord deals with us. And that when he calls us, he gives us the opportunity to respond to the call or not respond. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because the many that are called, they don't all choose. They do not all choose to follow him. He can brush you. Just like he can burn in a bush. But it wasn't until Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, that the Lord called to him out of the bush. Because he's toying with you. When the Lord reaches for you, he's waiting for a response from you. He's waiting to see if you'll reply, if you'll go along. There's a reason why Jesus passed by. I know we've talked about these things from time to time, but it's good points to make here so that we can understand what's going on between Elijah and Elisha here. He's trying to like pawn him off to Bethel and to Jericho and to Jordan and then say, well, let's see if I can get rid of him. Let's see how hungry he is. Let's see how determined he is. Let's see if he's not as serious about this as I am. But Jesus passed by again the next day after he was baptized of John and Jordan. He didn't have to pass by that way again. He could have gone anywhere after John the Baptist baptized him in John chapter 1. But it says he came by and he passed by where he was baptizing again. Why? Because he knew John would recognize him and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And say it one more time. One more time, that this is the Lamb of God. This is he of whom I speak. He said it the day before, but obviously nobody got the memo. But he said, "I'll come by again and see if I can attract at least two out of this crowd." I know it wouldn't have seemed right if they all abandoned John and left him standing there in the water alone. But knowing what we know now, I would have left too. Thanks, John. See ya. Makes sense, right? Yes. The Lord will wait for you. He'll call you. That's why he passed by. He passed by so Andrew and that other disciple could follow. Now, it could have been a whole lot more than those two, but two did follow and heard John speak. They heard. That's what the scripture said. That's why I tell you, pay attention to every single verse of scripture. There's meaning in everything. It's not just text for good storytelling. God's word is fitly framed together because he's trying to talk to you and give you points for you to recognize and say, right, I need to pay attention to that. They heard John speak. Where were the others? How many others heard? Or did they? No, they didn't. I mean, he just said like the most profound thing, "Behold the Lamb of God." Hey, let me say it again for you. I don't know why you're still standing in the water. Maybe I'll try it again. Does somebody have a microphone? "Behold the Lamb of God, the one I told you would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's him. They're just standing there. We know what this is like. There are times pastors used to give altar calls. People just stand there. Say, "Anybody want to come and pray?" He told a story about his granddaddy. You remember his father's dad reached for him the night that he would pass away. They didn't know he was going to die, but he was back in the church holding onto the chair, rocking back and forth. And pastor said, "I was up there preaching, reaching for him, reaching to pull him out of that chair so that he can give his life to God." Next morning, they found him dead. Thank God that Andrew left. Because it was Andrew that would go and find his brother Simon, who was surnamed Peter. See, great things can happen when you follow. And so here we have Elijah seemingly trying to get rid of Elisha. Elisha said, "No, you're not getting rid of me. Praise God, I'm in this thing for keeps." It's nice to be in this thing for keeps. You can go through anything if you're in this thing for keeps. When your heart is where it ought to be, when you're looking forward to, "I'm not going to leave your side. I'm going to see you go. I'm going to see you go up. And then after you're done going up, I'm going to go up someday." Praise God. When you're that determined, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Right? Said right now. What can separate you? Praise God. A prophet trying to leave you at Bethel? A prophet trying to leave you at Jericho? Or in Jordan, praise God, or any of these other places. No, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get to the message here. I'm trying to finish right now. So let's go to the verse where the fire happens. Verse 11. "Came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder," just separated them. "And Elijah went up by a storm into heaven." The scripture, when you interpret that word whirlwind, it's interpreted as a tempest, as a storm, as a violent storm. That thing came down whipping like a tornado of fire. And that's what you're really reading here, is that it came and it wasn't just this, you know, chariot that landed on the ground. You can hear it, dun, 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 dun. It's a Chariots of Fire song for you younger kids. They probably already knew what that was. I'm just dating myself. No, I wasn't that nice and that theatrical for Hollywood. Hollywood would have done it that way, and he would have jumped on and said, "See you, Elisha. Here's my mantle." And then went up. That's not the way it happened. They were walking, and here came the fire, and it came rather violently and rather stormy and just took him away. Separated the two of them. I could see almost Elisha being thrust out of his way to the point where his reaction is, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he tore his clothes in two. Why? He would see his master no more. So there was a profound effect upon Elisha and a separation that he went up in a whirlwind. And when I read that, it was like that part of that verse of scripture. I wasn't thinking about that before because my mind was not on that. This message continued on after Tuesday. We were sharing with you that question that he asked, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And that's where I'm trying to end today. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, what about the whirlwind? What about going up in a whirlwind? What about the storm? I came down and I separated him. And I was like, yeah, it wasn't just theatrical, you know. And the thought, of course, was there that, no, you're right. We're going up in a whirlwind too. Thank you, Jesus. Going up in a whirlwind. Hallelujah. If we die with trouble all around us, that's okay as long as we're going up. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't promise us there wouldn't be tribulation, that there wouldn't be the trial of our faith. Let's not get so overcome by the trial. Let's not get so overwhelmed by the burdens of this life and the cares of this life. Praise God. Just understand that none of that can stop us from going up, even if we go up in the midst of it. Hallelujah. That's why, that's the deepness of Jesus standing up in that boat saying, why are you so afraid? Because even if life throws a storm, I'm right there with you. I'm right in the middle of it. And none of it can stop you from going up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Read this right. It's not about you. Something trying to separate you. Listen to that scripture again. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Read it right. Nothing's going to stop us from that whirlwind coming to get us. Because the whirlwind of God is much greater than the whirlwind of the world. Hallelujah. Make sense? Praise God. I don't want to build altars to my troubles. Hallelujah. I'd rather build an altar to the fire that's going to descend upon them. Hallelujah. When I don't know what to do, I've got a fire that can lick up the rocks, the water, the stones, the sacrifice, and slay all the taunting prophets around us, false prophets that say your God's not real. Your trouble's more real than your God. Don't you even think about going to church tonight and thinking about getting the healing when you know you're not going to get it. Hey, that's the book. That's the book talking. That's what the Assyrians say. And that's what the enemies of the Lord say. Don't you think that you're going to get deliverance? You see all those other people that are captured by all the sickness and all the sorrow of the world? You think you're going to call on your little God and get healed? Don't you even think about it. What he wants to do for you, the enemy wants to stop you from picking up the mantle. I'm going to try to demonstrate this tonight. I want this to get in your head. We need to learn to do something. I guess I should have started with the scripture. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That hasn't changed. Praise the Lord. It's God's not having trouble. We need to come to that effectual and that fervent prayer. And we need to get up to the level of fervency. We're taught in Romans 12 to be fervent in spirit. Demonstrate this to you. This is going to be my mantle tonight. But the enemy of the Lord would like to keep you from walking up to that river and asking that question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? So you come to church sick, you come to church in trouble. What's behind you? What's driving you tonight? Is there anything stopping you? Anything stopping you from getting anything that you want from the Lord? Why is it that we're so afraid to walk up to the river and smite it? Elisha had no problem. He didn't do that in fear, wondering, I hope it works. He walked up knowing what he had asked for, and he smote that river, and he said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote it. I'm telling you here tonight by the word of the Lord that when you come to church, if you ever ask for prayer again, you come up with your mantle. Praise the Lord. You come up with that mantle with an expectation, with an anointing, because you are anointed. You've got the portion of God poured out upon you by the Holy Ghost. And God's just looking for you to just follow after. He's just looking for you to smite it. And watch the water part. And watch your healing come. And watch the fire fall. He wants to know that you're a people, praise God, who know that you're anointed. And don't let any spirit antagonize you and make you feel like it's not going to happen. Where is the Lord? You know where he is. God answered Elisha and said, I'm right here, bub. And the water parted. Hallelujah. I'm just here to give you a good word from the Lord if I can tonight. If you can receive this, please do not let life beat you down. Don't let anything strip your mantle from you. If it tries to, listen, pick your mantle up. Praise God. Just get that mantle in your hand. Hallelujah. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you've overcome them. That's what the scripture teaches us. We've overcome the wicked one. Wicked one's not in charge here. Praise. That's what God spoke to me, and I told you about that when he healed me of the sinus infection. God walked back and said, you got a mantle, right? I've given you a mantle, correct? What are you standing there for? Acts chapter 1. Why stand ye gazing? We're going to read that in a minute. Why stand you gazing? What would it have been if Elisha just walked up to the Jordan and just sort of stared at the river, but was afraid to ask the question, where's the Lord God of Elijah? God wants you to ask those questions because he's eager to answer it. Amen. The question doesn't always come from you. There are questions that come from God and fill our head because God's wanting you to act upon it so he can answer it. Didn't mean to scare you. Hallelujah. So the fire parted. I know there's a couple of thoughts I'm sharing here within this passage, but they're so true. They're so true. I love challenging the enemy, especially when you see it, just trying to parade your life. What do you do when you keep asking for prayer over and over again? Do you show up and allow the enemy to taunt you like it's not going to happen? Do you even think that? Why would you think that way when you have scripture in the word of God that teaches you to persistently go again and go again and go again? It ought to be like building a bonfire. Every time you come up for prayer, you just bring in another log. Fire is not big enough. I want to make this as big as I possibly can. And when the enemy is trying to put your fire out, you need to come to church with two logs. I'm going again. Hallelujah. And when Elisha stretched himself out upon the child of the Shunammite woman, he didn't stop when the child didn't move. He laid there hand in hand, mouth on mouth. He stretched himself over that dead child until that child sneezed 7 times. Until the child got warm, then the child sneezed, and then he opened up his eyes. He kept at it, praise God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what the word of God teaches. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why do we pray? Why do we pray an effectual, fervent prayer? Because we know he's going to answer us. Hallelujah. Where's the Lord God? And he smote the waters because he knew. I hope I'm not too loud. The scripture says in James 5 that Elijah was a man of passions like as we. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And the earth gave no rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed earnestly again and the earth gave rain. And we know the story. We've read it before. When he sent the servant out, the servant came back. I don't see anything. Go again. I don't see anything. Go again. I don't see anything. Go again. I don't see anything. Boy, if he lived in America, he wouldn't have gone back after the second time. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Acts 1 here. So he took the mantle that fell from Elijah and smote the waters and says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Praise God. Where is he? Have you ever just felt like he's not answering? Has life ever bombarded you in so much that the human side of you is like, where's God? Where's the Lord God? Where's the Lord God? Where's the Lord God I read about? Where's the Lord God I serve? Where's the Lord God I worship about and I sing about and I testify about or I preach about? I go to church about. I live this walk and say I'm a Christian about. Where is he? Just before we go to Acts 1, let me just say this to you in closing. Please, 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 don't let the whirlwind, I'm talking about the whirlwind of life now and trouble. I'm using that as sort of a metaphor here. Don't allow that to make you feel like you're not going up. Don't let the whirlwind dictate your walk. But contrariwise, let your walk dictate the whirlwind. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we sing the victorious songs when we don't feel like singing. We'll wore out. Life's frustrated us. Things aren't going our way. We come to church and we sing the Hallelujah Anyhow song. Praise God. That's so powerful. Praise God. It's so powerful. It's coming from an earthen vessel. Because what we're doing is we're saying, I'm here tonight to focus on the treasure in the earthen vessel. Praise God. And remind myself that this earthen vessel and all the whirlwind of life is not going to stop me from going up in the midst of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's not going to stop me from acting. Listen to me. Acting. We can't just talk about, well, we got the Holy Ghost, we got Jesus' name, we got the truth. That's great, but we need to smite the waters with it. Acts 1 in finishing. Thank you, Lord. Just want to read something we've read before, but I want to focus on something that the angel said to these apostles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to read verse 9 so I can finish up here. I've been talking long enough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What we have received is the power and the ability to perform. What Elisha received was the double portion he asked for. And it was significant for him when he went back to Jordan with that mantle, to know that God was granting him his desire that he had asked of Elijah. But what was given to him, what fell from him, remember the scripture says the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, right? Fell on all them that heard the word. What has come to us when the Holy Ghost fell on us, when we received the Holy Ghost, was the ability and the anointing and the backing to do all that we would do for God, bar none. So there shouldn't be in us, and if there is in us, we need to crucify it as fast as we can. Any hesitant feelings, thoughts, any hesitancy, any doubt, any fear should be removed from us, because what's given to us is an unction to perform. And it's God that's going to perform. Remember what the scripture says, they went about the Lord working with them. Know what it says? And they went forth and did what they were taught to do, the Lord working with them. Why? Because we've got the power that's going to back the smiting of the water. I don't have to worry about the water parting. I just need to do what I need to do and watch God do what he needs to do. Amen? Act with him. Work with him. Walk with him. That's what it's about. Walking with God. It's not just about living right in this present world. It's about doing the will of God in this present world and God working with us. That's why the miracles and the wonders and the signs follow them that believe. We don't have to make miracles happen. We don't have to fast and pray for miracles to happen. We just need to act. Peter didn't fast and pray when he laid hands on that man at the temple gate. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Let me just show this one more time. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I don't read anywhere where he said we got to go pray for a while and see if this is the will of God. He just smote the waters and the man stood up. Said, I'm going to church with you. God is saying to us, the fields are white already to harvest. The miracles are white already to harvest. Let's just learn to follow God and smite the waters. Praise God. And realize we've got a mantle that's come from the Lord. Let's live in it. Amen. Let's wear it. Let's be it. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Let's follow God. And let God be God in us. Amen. In closing, thank you. Hope I'm not busting the eardrums back there in the software, Brother Art. It's good? Okay. We're adjusting audio back there. We got new stuff. It's a little bit more powerful than the old stuff, so we're trying to make adjustments. You just have to remember for me, because I forget. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, verse 9, Acts 1, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Pretty quick, huh? Didn't give much time for gazing. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Hallelujah. In verse 14, they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. They learned, I got to go do something. I don't have any time for gazing. I mean, awesome sight. Can understand why they're gazing. But notice something that happened. They weren't given a whole lot of time to stand there and go, wow, wow, wow. And Elisha didn't have a whole lot of time. We don't read about him standing around going, wow, wow. He just went up by fire. Wow. I wish I got a picture I could put on social media. Wow. He didn't. He just said, well, the mantle fell. Watch. It's a pretty cool thing, Brother Bradley. The only thing that fell from that whole event was the mantle. And so I could see it falling. Watch. Don't stay here gazing. You got something to do. Pick it up. And go back to Jordan and watch what God can do. Let's all stand.